All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Chip Merlin joining us now. He is the we've had him on before, by the way. So welcome back, Chip. You're president of Merlin Law Group. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Hey, John, it's great to be here with you this afternoon.
No, I really appreciate it. Part of why I brought you on is a little bit self-serving. You know, I had you on in the past. We talked about, you know, claims and so on. We've had all the fires in Colorado, as you've probably been aware of. I lost my cabin up in the Grand Lake area, which just found out about last week. So I'm going to go through that whole process now. Unfortunately, I know a little bit about some of that and how it works. But my heart goes out, Chip, to the folks that don't. And I mean, and part of my Facebook group for the neighborhood even that I'm in up in the Grand Lake area, I'm watching people sort of now start to deal with all of this. And, of course, I've recommended public adjusters and things along those lines, which I know you and I talked about in the past. But I don't think folks really understand who's on their side when it comes to these sorts of things.
Well, it's unfortunately, and I've been writing a lot lately, that everybody thinks the insurance company is on your side. There's a lot of advertisement that goes on that way and tries to lead people to believe that. But the truth of the matter is that you're kind of out for yourself, especially in today's claims environment. All insurance companies aren't that way. I first want to say that publicly. But unfortunately, there's enough that goes on that the tomorrow, I have an article that's going to come out talking about how it is written that insurance company adjusters that pay less on claims are those that are thought of being as high performers. Well, if they're paying less on claims, you know, what about the guys that are fully paying the policyholder right away? How come they aren't thought of as being the champions? So it really is a problem that's really coming to the forefront with respect to insurance claims handling, especially following catastrophes such as what Colorado's going through now.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got, I know just in my area alone, you know, there's some, you know, 400 structures that have been burned to the ground or heavily damaged, and that's just one area of fire. That doesn't count the other areas here in Colorado, and we're not, you know, getting into some of the other areas in the country. And by the way, this doesn't include some of what may happen after tomorrow's election with rioting and looting and some of the other things that are going on that could affect even homeowners. I know it'll affect business as well. A question I've got for you, Chip. When it comes to these folks that may be listening to us even as we speak right now, when should they employ a public adjuster? And please explain to folks what a public adjuster is and does.
So first, let's talk about a public adjuster is. A public adjuster is an individual who represents the policyholder's interest only with respect to the policyholder's insurance claim with their fire insurance company or their property insurance company.
Okay.
So the insurance company has their own adjuster, and it could be a company adjuster, it could be an independent adjuster. A public adjuster is licensed in the state of Colorado and can only help the policyholder, not the insurance company. And typically, especially, I talk about this in my book, Pay Up, and it talks about how you avoid an insurance catastrophe or a second catastrophe with your own insurance company. The more complex and larger the claim, the more you should consider getting professional help to help you. And so for many people, I just yesterday talked to in the late afternoon, somebody who called up and indicated they'd hired a public adjuster, and the insurance company's first claim was $40,000. And after hiring public, they're up to $200,000, but the claim that they're seeking is almost $500,000, and they're out in California regarding their claims. And what happens after catastrophes is often the price of all construction goes up. There's not enough contractors, materials to go along around and things like that. And sometimes the insurance companies are having a hard time keeping up on pricing.
Correct.
Or they just don't want to admit that's what the pricing is.
Yeah, and my feeling is, and Chip, maybe I'm looking at this incorrectly, and maybe I even have wild dreams about, you know, my end of things, but the way I look at it is, you know, you've got a lump sum, you know, total of what the policies work. Typically, there's a structure, you know, in my particular case, I've got structure, I've got an outbuilding, and then I've got content, so I've got this total overall figure, and for me personally, Chip, I just want a blank check, you know, not a blank, but I want a check for my policy amount because I'm going to rebuild because basically all I've got is a pile of sawdust left over after the file. I've got foundation that may or may not even be good at this point. So the reality is I'm a total rebuild. I just want a check and I'll do it all on my own. I don't want the insurance company managing that for me.
Well, and John, that's a great point. Actually, you have two major parts of your claim. You have your home you're going to go rebuild. You've also got to replace all your contents. If you're like a lot of people, myself and others, you're working all day long, when do you have time to really figure out all the claims? You know, if it's a total loss, without a doubt, you should get a public adjuster to help you out. We had a claim representing a more elderly lady, and it was with a major insurance company in Colorado regarding one of the wildfires, and their house was destroyed. Both of them are retired, and we have pictures of this woman for 6 months going out and into her debris, trying to count all the various materials, remembering what they are, and the insurance company didn't even tell her, hey, you know, be careful. What are you doing going back into all this stuff? It's carcinogenic.
Right.
There are all kinds of problems. You're killing yourself just by doing this. Most of the time, people would give up, and this little old lady just would not give up, going through her contents, asking for everything. We actually brought a claim under some special consumer protection laws in Colorado, and were very successful representing her on that, punishing the insurance company, because they know that most people will just give up and not go through that paperwork. Many people are not going to go back out. And why in the world are you telling your own policyholder to go into a place that your own adjuster knows not safe?
Right.
The second thing is, you know, for you, the best time, the absolute best time to rebuild your structure in your home differently than what it was before, to be more contemporary, to be it the way you want it to
right.
be.
You always, no matter how well you do at building something the first time out, whether you buy it chipped that way or whether you build your own, you always find things you would change the next time around. That's the time to do it.
Absolutely, and that's not the insurance company dictating how you're supposed to go rebuilding it. That's your money. You can go back and rebuild that home any way you want to, so long as your mortgage company's happy with the end result, because you have a collateral issue with them.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of times that's not even told to the policyholder by the insurance company. So, you know, those little things public adjusters and attorneys can help out quite a bit with.
Yeah, and again, folks, I wanted to get Chip on purpose. And Chip, I guess I should have told you this first, but I'm sure as you can tell, you already knew what was going on here in Colorado. And we have got a ton of people. Our signal reaches several states even. We go all the way to Wyoming, Nebraska, Kansas, and all the way south into parts of even New Mexico, Chip. And I just know there's a lot of folks listening and wanted to get them information on this, because I think there's just a ton of misconception on these things. And you know, I talked a little bit. I've got a program I do on Saturdays. It's kind of an around the house kind of a program, Fix It Radio, it's called. And we talked a little bit about that on Saturday, Chip, and the smoke damage that can even happen if your house is still standing. And maybe the neighbor's house burned to the ground and yours stayed standing. The reality, Chip, is in some cases, you'd have been better off being the neighbor with it burned to the ground, even though you think you're in great shape and your house is still standing. It may not be so great after all.
Yeah, there's two things that really go on. One could be you're so close to where the fire is, the radiant heat has done all kinds of damage to your home. You don't even realize that the fasteners behind the walls and all that have melted or have changed. And if you have a windstorm that would come by, your wall might, you know, fly off. But there's all kinds of things that happen as a result of just the light heat, radiant heat.
Right.
You know, from the light of the fire next to it that actually burns through. You can't even see it. It's almost like your home is getting a sunburn, but most people just don't realize that's what happened to your home or your business structure.
That's right.
And the second is there are these what we call soot and ash claims that require special immediate investigation right away. And the insurance companies realize what they are. Most people just don't think about the fact that, oh, really, all this smoke and ash is going through, and now it's going through my air conditioning. Oh, and it's going all the way through my house, and it's getting behind my walls and into my electronics and all these other various things. They just, I mean, and most, why would you? I mean, this has never really happened to you. Most people don't live in an area where wildfires come through all the time. And so this type of specialized, we need to get the word to everybody. Just because your house didn't burn down, if you're somewhere close in the vicinity, you still might have important damage to your home that you need to look after.
Yeah, I was reading, you know, just what made me think of that, Chip, is I was reading my own, you know, Facebook group from the neighborhood and so on over the weekend, and somebody was mentioning that, hey, you know, survivor's remorse is real. And I didn't really want to post anything back because I didn't want to be that guy, but I almost thought, be careful on whether you think you're a survivor or not, because if you've been anywhere in our neighborhood where, you know, again, half the houses are gone, half the houses are standing, every home there has been affected, Chip, whether it's standing or not. I'm not sure there really are any survivors when it's all said and done.
There there are actually none. Your community's gone, your neighborhood's gone, and it's got to be rebuilt, and it won't be the same afterwards. And that's the same type of, if you go into a hurricane area and everything's just wiped out and you're looking around, it's sort of the same thing to a different degree with respect to wildfires as well. And it is different. There's an emotional aspect to every single insurance claim that goes on. The people that have had their homes destroyed and all their belongings and things like that, I often talk about the very first thing for our clients and what insurance company adjusters should be concerned about is the impact that has on the individuals. I wrote in my book about, people, especially, and it's crazy, older men that will go back to their home and it's like, hey, I've got to start all over again. My home's destroyed. I'm having a problem with the insurance. And they will just walk around. This is what they provided for forever. Many people have paid off, their mortgage by this time and things like that. And it's just difficult to start back over. There's a real emotional part of everybody. Many people don't expect to have to leave where they were living before. And then all your belongings, your, quote, stuff, that really, that belongs to you and in your heart, that are no longer there.
Right.
And so there's that whole aspect about that. And then some people, I don't know if I'm going to battle my insurance. They almost are, it's almost like they feel guilty by making an insurance claim.
Yes, they do. I think I told you last time you were on, I had a business insurance, fire insurance claim some, 20 plus years ago. And yeah, in fact, I can tell you back then, the biggest mistake I made was not getting a public adjuster, Chip, and it really, really messed up. And because of what you just said, you have this sort of this emotional thing where, hey, I don't want to cost the insurance company more than I can. I want to try to save that relationship. I'm going to try to save and keep the claim down as much as I can. And at the end of the day, I still got canceled. It didn't do me any good at all.
No, it didn't. They won't tell you about that afterwards. The truth of the matter is by a lot of people think by saving the insurance company some money on the amount of the claim will prevent them from getting canceled.
No.
Or somehow make it up in the future, and
nope.
It's nearly impossible. The product that you purchased, should be used to its fullest extent. That's what you bought it for.
Yep.
That's what you planned for.
Yep.
You should be rewarded for having the foresight, unlike some people. And if you bought a great insurance product, it's going to pay you fully for, you're going to get new for old because it's a replacement cost. Hopefully you have code upgrade coverage. You might have all kinds of various things. As a matter of fact, in some policies, you don't have to rebuild at the same location. You can go somewhere else to rebuild completely. And a lot of times, that's never explained to the policyholder.
Very well said. Chip, I really appreciate it. Again, folks, the book is Pay Up, Preventing a Disaster with Your Own Insurance Company. It's MerlinLawGroup.com. Chip, if there's folks listening and they need help from you directly, can you do that in Colorado? How does that work, sir?
Yeah, we have an office right there in Denver. We have three attorneys there. I'm licensed in Colorado. I love coming out to Colorado, but we're very active out there. If you put just ChipMerlin.com or Chip Merlin Attorney in Google, you'll find all my information. But it's real easy. My cell number is 813-695-8733. I give out my cell number. And it is literally easy to contact us. You can fill stuff out online if you'd like to, or call us. Again, the book will give some great advice, I think, for people. You can get that on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. But, we write a daily blog explaining people's rights with respect to insurance claims and fire insurance claims in Colorado. So
one last question for you, Chip, and I know there's folks out there listening. You know me, I'm not bragging. I'm a pretty sharp guy. I understand the insurance world fairly well. Been through many, many things like this. And even I, in this case, I will end up employing somebody, you or somebody else, to help me with this process just because I know what's involved. And I guess what I'm asking is, even if you're pretty sharp like myself, I don't think this is something I still want to tackle. I still think you need other outside help. Am I wrong?
I think for most people, if you have a serious loss and it's more than a few $1,000, it almost always pays you to at least call a professional and look for the right professional. I mean, and I describe this in the book. Look for people that are leaders in the industry, that teach, that others look up to.
Gotcha.
Hire those individuals. That's who you want to hire.
Gotcha.
And then again, to what the book also talks about, I love insurance agents. Get an insurance agent that's passionate about what they So we'll help guide you to the right types of coverage you need
awesome.
As well.
Chip, I appreciate you joining us. In fact, as we proceed through some of this, even myself personally, there'll be a lot of people out there I know that are listening that at this point don't even know what they're doing. We'll have you back in the future because I know there's going to be more questions as we move along here.
John, best of luck to you and everybody else that's suffering out there. I just hope this stops sometime soon.
It's
been
me too.
A crazy year, and it's just crazy with the amount of yep. catastrophes you've been having.
Chip, thank you as always. I appreciate you, and we'll have you back, sir. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
You're very welcome. Thank you much. Hang tight, Mark. We'll come right back. He was out at the flag parade over the weekend. Actually, yesterday, I should say. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. They want to help you with all of your vehicle needs. Don't forget, they've got Cooper tires right now at cost and a $75 rebate that runs till November 9th. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-841-1071.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair will help you prioritize your vehicle's maintenance. You know there's a lot more to maintaining your vehicle than just getting your oil changed. But it seems like every time you go to the shop, the mechanic finds 10 things wrong, and all of them need to be fixed immediately, or there could be dire consequences. In your experience, very few auto repair shops will level with you about what's most important to fix right now and what could wait until later. The team of ASE-certified technicians at Extreme Auto Repair do their best to inform you about your vehicle's factory-recommended maintenance without using scare tactics to pressure you into spending more money. They have a reputation among their many repeat customers of only fixing what needs to be fixed, not more. At Extreme Auto Repair in Parker, you can trust their team to tell you what needs to be fixed when. Find out what your vehicle really needs at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
All right, folks, right now, buying a firearm, it's about a two-day wait to get through the background check. Friday, it was a few hours. Today, it's a couple of days, and who knows if that's going to increase depending upon what happens tomorrow with the election. So what I'm going to tell you is if you're interested in buying a gun, getting trained, buying all the ammo, the things that you need, get out to Franktown Firearms. Now, do not delay. There's going to be a shortage, I believe, in the not-too-distant future. There already is, folks, in a lot of cases, and I think that shortage is going to go up. Go to klzradio.com or call 720-770-7777.
Instead of transporting your firearms to and from the range, you can store them safely on-site at the Franktown Firearms Armory. After purchasing a firearm, the team at Franktown recommends that you shoot consistently with your own gun on the range, as well as signing up for one of their proprietary training courses or one-on-one instruction so you can develop confidence handling your gun. You can also store your firearms temporarily while you're on vacation or protect your heirloom weapons without taking up space in your gun safe at home. The team at Franktown prides themselves on developing long-term relationships with their clients. They see beginners turn into experts all the time. First-time buyers come in looking for guidance and come back because they're having fun. Learn to shoot with confidence in a family atmosphere. Store your firearms at Franktown. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/franktown for pricing. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Mark, what's going on today, sir?
Hey, so I went to the flag. We call it MAGA Drag the Interstate.
Right.
That's actually the name of it yesterday, and it was insane. I mean, I don't know how many of us there were, but I'm sure it was thousands.
They claim about 14,000, Mark. It was just a huge amount of people.
It could have been. Well, I can tell you this. So there was like 12 different staging areas. I went to the one in Lone Tree, the Cabela's, and I pull in. Half, two-thirds of that parking lot is just people getting their trucks ready with the flags, talking, all kinds of stuff like that. And we all drive to Bandimere, and it was insane. And then people started leaving Bandimere to do the thing, and we did a big loop around the area, and there were people almost done with the loop, and there were still tons of people in the Bandimere parking lot waiting to leave.
Wow. Amazing.
So it was,
amazing.
I think, Mark,
here's my thought process. I mean, right now, cities are getting boarded up. We talked about that a few minutes ago. I've had some folks even texting me asking about that and what are my thoughts and so on. And Mark, here's my thoughts. These cities would not be boarding up and telling their places to even board up if they thought for a minute Donald Trump wasn't going to win. Because they all know that you and I, as conservatives and our like, are not going to be the ones out, you know, burning cities down, because that's not what our side does. So my thought process is they all must know something and be on the end of something and think Joe's losing, or they wouldn't be boarding up cities.
Yeah, well, it's eerie. It's almost exactly all the things they're saying on TV. It's almost exactly like 4 years ago.
Hmm.
Trump's down 5-10 points everywhere. He's got to win this state. He's got to win this state. So I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. But they don't have the enthusiasm, but they have a lot of hatred on the other side.
Yeah. And like you, I think you just said it a minute ago, cautiously optimistic, although I still predict, I think we know tomorrow night. And again, the reason I say that is I don't think these cities would tell all these businesses and so on to board up, shut down, you know, do whatever they need to for tomorrow night and even into Wednesday if they didn't think some things were going to happen. So I think the other side knows for a fact, well, I shouldn't say for a fact, but I think they've got a good feeling where things are going to head. And we all know, Mark, that if our side wins and the other side loses, there's a lot of cities that are going to get burned to the ground.
Yeah, they're going to go off.
Yep.
And luckily, I was talking to somebody about this. Most of these people in their 30s and 20s, I don't think they understand what Trump got accomplished with that third Supreme Court pick.
They don't.
Because I didn't understand the importance of the Supreme Court until I was probably like almost 40. And it's a good thing they don't, because if they would have understood it, they would have been doing it a couple of weeks ago probably. Yeah.
Well, let me say this, Mark. I think let me tell you this. I think they wanted to. I think they didn't, because the left said, no, you can't do that right now because it's going to affect the outcome of the election if you continue. Because the suburban moms are scared to death of that continual burning down of cities, and it would sway that vote too much, and they knew that. So I think to me personally, I think all of those folks told the Antifas and the BLM that are out there, hey, you got to cut it back. You can't do this anymore. We're for sure going to lose the election.
But if Trump wins, game on.
Yep. I think you're right, Mark. No, well said. Well said.
Yeah.
Mark, thanks for the update.
Did you get my email?
Okay. You know what? I did, and I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
All right, let me know.
Mark, I got to run. Call back. I appreciate it, Mark, very much, and call tomorrow even as we go through today, tomorrow, and Wednesday with election results and so on. Please do. I appreciate that very much. John and Cheyenne, you're next.
Two things, John. Hey, great show, by the way. Thanks for the that interview that you just finished up. Really helps. Next time I got a claim, I'm calling one of those adjusters.
Yep, and Chip's a good guy. He understands it. And
yeah.
I've been through enough of that on my own as well. But yeah, no, good guy. He understands it.
Yeah, because I got kind of screwed by State Farm on my roof the last time. I'm not going to let that happen again.
Don't blame you.
And they dropped me.
Yep, that's right.
but no, here's what makes me think Trump's going to win. One, my nephew, who's an NYPD cop,
mm-hmm.
got told, don't even think about going home tomorrow night at the end of your shift.
Really?
They already told him. They said, bring some extra clothes. If you want to crash at the precinct, if we don't need you on the streets, that's fine. But we're not releasing anybody.
Yeah, John, I don't know this for a fact, but, you know, common sense would tell you that, you know, you kind of got to look around at what's going on and so on. And I get it. Some of these folks could just be preemptively saying this to make sure that they're ready to go and so on. But if they're doing this in the thought process that that if the right loses, they go out and burn cities down. John, we've been through this with Obama two times in a row. So the reality is we don't burn anything down, nor would we this time. They've got to know that there's more going on this front, or they wouldn't be telling these cities, and in your case, to do this when it comes to the NYPD.
Right. And then the second thing, I grew up in Brooklyn, so I got tons of friends. And they're saying that usually in New York, the Jewish vote goes heavily Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so mad at the Democrats, what they've done with the shutdowns, that there is a big move. And here's going to be your signal that Trump's going to win big. If he might not win, if he does better in New York than he did 4 years ago, where it's a match, that means that a lot of the New Yorkers have decided that they're going to that they've switched over to Trump, and that's a good sign, in my opinion.
Yep. So, no, I think you're exactly right. And by the way,
yeah.
I think you just said something too that we've talked about numerous times. I really do. I think I think when it's all said and done, one of the things that if Trump wins, which I believe he will, I think you're going to hear the left come out and finally admit, yeah, COVID stress caused Trump to win. That's going to be the headline.
Oh, yeah. It'll be COVID stress, and they'll talk about the, you know, the lockdowns, and people were just sick of it. Well, and I've said this to you before, if we would have done what Sweden did, we wouldn't have any issues right now.
That's right.
But, you know, I don't know if you heard, Laramie County, Cheyenne, where I live, I live in that county, they issued a mask mandate as of today.
Oh, geez.
For all, wait, it gets better. So they did this, and then the DA for Laramie County says, I don't have enough money right now. We're short. We're not going to prosecute. So and then the county sheriff and the police chief of the city of Cheyenne both said, I don't have the manpower or the time. We're not going to enforce mask mandates.
So it's useless.
So here it was, and this is what got me crazy, is an unelected board of bureaucrats said we needed a mandate. They sent it to the state because the county can't enforce it.
Right.
The state has to sign off.
Right.
And an unelected bureaucrat at the state level, the state director of the health, I don't know what her actual title is, she said, okay, I said everybody that needs has to write to the governor because the governor appointed her. It's his call, and he needs to get called on the carpet, just like, you know, hey, you got to – but – every store, every place that has a mask mandate, the cops are not going to enforce it. What the chief of police said, he said, if they tell you to put on a mask and you don't do it and they ask you to leave and you don't leave, then we got to come and get you for trespassing, not for not wearing a mask.
Gotcha.
You go into a, you know, and that's private property. John, same, you know, you and I have said the same thing all along.
Yep.
Private property.
They can do that.
What they ask you or go somewhere else.
That's right.
But he's not going to enforce it anywhere else. He says he doesn't have the time or the manpower. So this is just, you know, a bunch of Karens.
Yep.
As
that's right.
Saying we need masks. They had a call. 60% of the business owners said we don't want the mask mandate, and they went with the 40% of the Karens who said they wanted it.
Unbelievable.
So
I don't get
it. Crazy everywhere, John. Have a safe day.
Hey, man, John, I appreciate it. Thanks for the listening and for being so faithful to us. I do appreciate it. Richard, hang tight. We'll come right back in a moment, and we'll talk some sports and other things, of course. Purify Chevrolet is coming up next, folks. And if you're looking to buy a newer used car, it doesn't have to be a Chevrolet product. They've got everything under one roof, including non-Chevrolet products. So if you want to buy something other than that, a used product, they can help you with that. In some cases, even find what you're looking for. By the way, if you've got a late model sports car or a late model truck you want to get rid of, prices are up. They would love to help you with that as well. They can buy that car from you is what I'm saying, or trade it in, buy something else. Go to Highway 52 and Highway 85 in Fort Lupton, 303-659-8311, or find them at purefoychevrolet.com.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purefoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Okay, next. Sorry about that. Enchanted Kitchens is next, folks. And what I mean to say by enchanted is make that kitchen work for you. Yeah, we call it Enchanted Kitchens because that's the name of their place. But really what we're trying to say is make a functional kitchen that you would be proud to show off that works for you. That's really what it's all about. Enchanted Kitchens, go to klzradio.com or 303-376-7588.
The Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center feels like home, only better. The design process at Enchanted Kitchens always begins in their award-winning showroom because their team believes you need to see, touch, and feel your new kitchen ahead of time. Built to look like a nicer version of your own home with an open floor plan, the Experience Center allows you to visualize a kitchen that works. Standing inside a true-to-life example of a functional kitchen, you can start to imagine how much more you'll enjoy your new space, solidifying your vision for your home. Then, the Enchanted Kitchens design team will bring samples into your home to help truly picture your new kitchen and discuss the design based on your budget and style. Visit the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center and feel at home, only better. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/kitchens and schedule a free design consultation at the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center, where magic meets design.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers, and Kurt would love to help you figure out a way to pay for that kitchen we just talked about a moment ago from Enchanted Kitchens. And he can do that. Call him directly, 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change. All without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Richard, what's going on, sir?
Oh, not too much. I'm ready for tomorrow to be over, I tell you.
Yeah, I was reading Twitter and just, you know, looking at the nonsense that comes out of the left. And I tell you, I've never seen such hysteria already prior to the election, and we're not even on election day yet.
It's funny, Dad, because everyone you're seeing the news media say, you know, this is not the what America should be, with businesses boarding up and stuff in anticipation of an election. This is what happens in a socialist country. And it's like, yeah, exactly, but it's not the right that's doing this. It's all everyone on the left and Antifa and BLM and all this other nonsense that's happening. Like, that's why businesses are boarding up, because they don't want to get burned to the ground if Trump wins. And they know that it's a possibility that he does win. And so, yeah, it's something that I know you've never seen it happen. You know,
no.
This is kind of a first. And people are going to blame Trump, but folks, don't get it confused. It's not President Trump's fault that people are having to board up businesses and so on and so forth. It's the left stoking the fears and everything that they are and perpetuating this nonsense that gets people to where they're at. And that's really what you're seeing, Dad. And so I'm ready to be done. And, you know, people are asking you know, and we were kind of talking about that with some other people that never talked to you about it before today. It's like, you know, when Wednesday morning, you and I've talked about this, when Wednesday morning happens, you know, hopefully we have a result, probably won't. Hopefully we have some semblance of an idea, but you know what? Most Republicans are going to get up and go to work the next day and
yep.
You know, have to keep on trucking along. And honestly, a lot of Democrats are too. You know, whether they agree or not, you know, you're going to have videos if Trump wins of them crying in their cars and everything else. But at the end of the day, folks, we all got to, you know, pull up. And even if Biden wins, we got to figure out how to keep moving on, because Lord knows he doesn't care about you. So you better fit. You know, you
yeah.
were talking about this with some other people, you know, in regards to, you know, insurance and stuff. The only people that really cares about you and yourself and your family is yourself.
Right. You and your family are the only ones that are really going to have any care and concern when it's all said and done. Yeah, I get it. There's friends and extended family and all that, and I realize that. But really, at the end of the day, bottom line is you're responsible for you and your immediate family, and you know what? Everybody else needs to do the exact same thing, and away we go. The problem is that's not what the left wants, and I still feel good about a win tomorrow night. I know things could change, and you know, we'll see different things happen tomorrow night, and you know, different things swaying back and forth. But I still see Trump being victorious. And again, I just use common sense. I don't know that the left has any sort of insight, but, you know, let's face it, they get a pretty good gauge of what's going on internally. They've got internal polls and things that they do as well. And let me tell you what, there's no way that if they thought they were going to be winning tomorrow night, they would be boarding up cities like they are. That's my thought process. I could be wrong.
Well, not only that, but boarding up cities and stuff, but, you know, putting out some of the stuff they are about voting and so on and so forth, they're nervous as all get out.
I think they are,
totally
too.
They're totally nervous of Trump, and which again, if you're looking at the polls, that shouldn't be the case. But as you and I have been saying for a while, it's kind of coming back to center now, as it always does. And basically what they're saying is if Biden, on the national popular vote, which again, I don't know, he's not going to come back down. And again, we think that is inflated even a little bit, you know, in the polls that we're seeing now. But if, you know, Biden may very well win the popular vote by 3 or 4 points. Very, very possible. But it doesn't matter. Which is all the more reason why Coloradans should vote against this national popular vote thing. I saw some, I'm pretty sure it was a bogus ad for conservatives for the popular vote saying that this allows every conservative vote to count. No, it doesn't.
No.
It just basically just means Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, you know, all the big cities and essentially the big states, that's where the vote matters.
Right.
Right? You know, in the Democrat strongholds. And so I'm with you that I think it's going to be close tomorrow. I'm ready for it to be done just because I hate the political ads. I hate being able to, or you're not being able to go home and just sit and enjoy something. You know, you got to see, you know, ads from the left and the right. I'm just ready to be done. And then again, let's, you know, figure out how to pick up as a country and move forward, whether that's Trump for 4 more years or Biden, you know, well, really I should say Harris, you know, for 4 years at that, you know, we got to figure out and kind of keep on how to move forward. Right.
Right. And you look at some of the polling, and again, I don't put much at stake in the polling, and I think, just as a side note, folks, and I know there's a lot of folks out there that would disagree with my statement here, but the reason why I don't put a lot of stake in polling is in today's electronic world and everything that's going on, I just don't know, Richard, how accurate any of the polling is. And I mean, that goes both ways. Even places where you would say Trump is ahead and other places where you would say Biden is ahead, I just don't know how accurate those polls are. I mean, I know they try to be super accurate, but let's face it, they don't have the best of track records coming out of 2016, and even some of the midterm elections, some of the polling that they do just is not that accurate, and frankly, I don't think it's accurate this time.
Yeah, well, and again, you're seeing it. Again, it's coming down to the battleground state, so really that's where you need to focus your money and energy on, because it doesn't matter what the national poll says. Right, go to Florida, which everyone's saying is in play. I don't think it's in play. I think Trump's going
to
win that.
No, I mean, I'm looking at 270 to win, and they've got Biden up by 3% in Florida. Again, that's one that I don't see that happening. They're using the average of nine polls, but those polls are not accurate. I'm sorry, they're just not.
Exactly. He's pulled ahead in North Carolina now. He's ahead in Iowa, which bodes well for the Senate race there with Senator Joni Ernst as well. That's a good one. He's pulled ahead in, he's closer in Pennsylvania. And that's going to be the big one, Dad. And that's where Biden is scared, you know what.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he, not sure.
And real quick, I just want to explain something really quick to everybody. So let me do this before we take a break and you can come back and talk about that in just a moment. But to give you the samplings, okay, this is what a lot of folks don't understand. So I'm reading through this all of the different polls from Florida that show Biden ahead of Trump. So they talk about, you know, Reuters and Morning Consult and Emerson College and Rasmussen and so on. And we're talking about, you know, samples of not a ton of individuals. I mean, we're talking at the highest of any of the samples is 3,000 people. The average is probably around 1,000 people that they're actually sampling. That isn't enough people to know.
No, exactly. And that's going to be something that, like you said, I think that, it also goes back to what is the sampling, Dad? Not necessarily how many, but who are you sampling? A lot of these polls, and the director of the Trafalgar Group had talked about this in an article I think you sent, which is they're oversampling Democrats. You
right.
know, the poll, it may be 65% Democrats. Well, that's, you know, the country's pretty 50-50. What, you know, the media doesn't want you to believe that. But that's why each election kind of goes you know, one of two ways, right? It's kind of there in the middle.
Well, and it's really typically, you know, like Colorado, it's typically, not exactly, but it's typically a third, third, and a third. You know, a third Republican, a third Democrat, and a third Independent. So typically it's about a third, and I realize it's not exactly because there's even those third-party voters that are out there. You know, I understand that. But typically you're one of those three, and it just depends on how they're actually pulling in that data from those different groups and who they're actually calling when they do the research. And by the way, it even comes down to how they actually word the questions.
Well, exactly. You get confusing. You also get who picks up for the question or not, you know, who doesn't. There's a lot of different inaccuracies that can go into it and that can go into the polls themselves. And so you've got different models. And so just it's interesting. But I'm with you, Det. At the same time, tomorrow, if Trump wins Pennsylvania, he wins the whole thing. If he loses Pennsylvania, it's going to be a long shot because there's not much he can do. He'd have to pull a Michigan or a Minnesota or something like that in order to get it handled. And I don't know if he necessarily has that in him. But, again, stranger things have happened, too.
Yeah, and, you know, will we know tomorrow night? I personally think that we will. I think you're going to see a lot of a repeat of what happened. In fact, I told somebody that texted me earlier, they asked me, well, would you have Trump sue over some of the mail-in ballots if he loses? And I said, well, frankly, I don't think that's going to be an issue because I think you should ask yourself that question. Is Biden going to sue if that's the case? And my prediction is, yes, Biden camp will sue in those particular areas, and it's going to come back to bite them as to what they wished for in the first place. That's my prediction.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we come back, I've got an interesting kind of, well, tidbit, and we can talk about, you know, the roadmaps that are available for Trump that way.
Okay, sounds good. We'll come right back. Gino's Auto Services next, folks. And Gino's with a J. They want to take care of your vehicle as we head into winter, get things done, handled. I know it's really nice out, really warm out, but still winter is coming. Trust me, folks. We've already had a taste of it, and it'll be back. Don't worry. Gino'sAutoservice.com, 303-794-6700.
Winter is coming quick, and if there's one thing Geno's knows, it's that a well-maintained vehicle performs and lasts, especially during the harsh and sudden Colorado winter weather. Take advantage of Geno's free multi-point inspection before winter arrives. We'll evaluate your vehicle by looking at your fluid levels, belts, hoses, and filters. Any maintenance or repair work on your vehicle comes with a NAPA Peace of Mind warranty, covering parts and labor for 36 months or 36,000 miles. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Geno's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers through NAPA Auto Care, warranting any work you may have had done. If you think your vehicle will benefit from our multi-point inspection, give Geno's a call or go online to schedule an appointment. We're AAA approved and located at Bulls and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stay safe this winter. Stop in or visit us online at Geno'sAutoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Marianne with Brightview Landscaping Services said, "I would just like to say that we really enjoy working with BES. If I need a toner, I just make a call and they send it out right away. If we have any issues with our equipment, which we rarely do, they come out right away and our copier that we lease works very well. I would highly recommend this company to any business that's interested in having great customer service and equipment that works great." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Richard Rush, my son, joining us, talk a little bit about the election. We'll get to a little bit of sports news as well, but let's face it, this is the big news right now until tomorrow night, and then we'll get back to normal. So what else did you want to share, Richard?
Exactly. So, okay, so to bore your folks for just a few minutes here. So, again, 270 win, folks. You can play around with it. Head to that website. You can kind of, you know, pick and choose what states win if you think one state's going to be, you know, green or blue and they think it's going to be red. Right now, they've got it. You know, if you use their 2020 consensus map, they have Biden at 290, Trump at 163 with several toss-ups in there. Iowa, Ohio, North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. So, obviously, if you flip Georgia, Florida, Iowa, and Ohio, which are all pretty likely, that puts Trump at 232. This is also giving Biden Pennsylvania, which has got 20 electoral votes. And I'm not sure that's going to happen, Dad, so we're going to send that back to to kind of toss-up territory. So that puts Biden at 270, which is also including Arizona with its 11 votes. Go ahead.
What's weird about some of these is they've got, you know, I'm looking at the 270 to win their map, and they've got Texas as a toss-up, Florida as a toss-up. I don't see those as toss-ups. I'm sorry.
Well, and they've got Texas move back to kind of a lean Republican. Again, I think he's going to win it pretty handily there. Florida, again, I think is the deal. So if Trump wins North Carolina, then again, basically, and I've moved Arizona back, so you've got Arizona and Pennsylvania as kind of your open-ended pieces right now. You do also have two, you'll hear tomorrow night them talk about two kind of special districts, the second district of Maine and the second district of Nebraska, because they break up their electoral votes by district. And so you'll hear a lot about them and how those were actually mm-hmm. Trump districts last year, and I believe, or last time, and they have them projected to go Biden this time around, which is certainly a possibility. But as we have it right now, Dad, that Maine one is a toss-up, so let's give that to Biden. But that leaves Arizona and Pennsylvania. So here's the deal, folks. If Trump, which he's essentially even in Arizona right now, and I think we reported on Friday, Dad, that he's now pulled even to a head in Arizona. So if we give that to Trump, it puts them both at 259, which, again, this means he can lose Wisconsin, which he lost last time. If he wins Wisconsin, it means there's a tie, mind you. It's not necessarily a thing that's going to happen, but if he does, and so if you go back, actually, I'm going to switch that one to there. And so if Trump wins Pennsylvania, it puts him at 278, and he wins. So, folks, you're going to hear a lot tomorrow about, you know, a lot of different scenarios, and the reason Pennsylvania is getting, and by the way, Dad, don't let them fool you. The reason it's getting so much publicity right now is because Biden really kind of screwed the pooch on that one.
Yeah.
He made his oil comments, which really kind of brought Pennsylvania into play.
Right, which it wasn't prior.
It wasn't at all. If you really look at the recent polling, it wasn't in play. It was completely gone. You know, he had it locked up, and then he made his comments regarding fracking and oil and the other pieces of it, and it's now costing. And so I think it'll be an interesting piece. I think we're just going to have to kind of wait and see tomorrow just to kind of see what happens. But I'm with you. I don't think it's as cut and dry, you know, towards Biden as everyone thinks it's going to be. I think it's definitely going to be a little bit more antsy, and honestly, that's going to come down to some of the mail-in voting in places like Pennsylvania that haven't been able to start tabulating votes, so it's going to take them a while, and do they throw some of the votes out, and so on and so forth. But if you get your way and he wins Wisconsin and maybe even Minnesota and a few other states that people aren't projecting that Trump wins,
mm-hmm.
He may not even need those votes, you know?
True. True. No, it's going to be interesting to see how things go. And, I plan on just sitting down tomorrow night and just watching things roll through. We'll come back and talk about it for sure on Wednesday. But, you know, it depends on how a lot of these states roll through, Richard. And it could very well be very, very close at the end. Or you could see Trump pull ahead. Or, you know, unfortunately, you could see Biden pull ahead as well. I know I'm kind of vacillating there. But it really depends on some of these states and how things start to come in. And then whether or not they actually can call those states actually, you know, wins in either column by the end of the night. That's going to be the bigger question.
Correct. And that's where I think you're going to see some of them struggle, and you're going to see some decision desk struggle, because I just don't – I don't know. I think that you're going to have some states, and again, some crucial states, Pennsylvania being one of them, that you're going to have to wait to call until later. Now, at the same time, Colorado's been known, you know, for our stuff. I think by about 9, 10 o'clock on Colorado, you're going to be able to know,
yeah, we'll know
what
ours.
Direction we're going. And I'll be honest, we know which direction we're going to go presidential. We know Cory Gardner's unfortunately likely out here.
Right.
However, I think at the same time, I'm more concerned about some of the other ballot issues here in Colorado, Dad.
Me too.
We'll talk more about that tomorrow. And you'll be able to see at that point in time by about 9, 10 o'clock our time, all right, where are those sitting? You know, did 115 pass? Did 118 get knocked down? You know, all
right.
Of these that conservatives were concerned.
Right.
And I think it's going to be a mixed ballot. As much as I hate to say that, I think there's going to be kind of a little bit of a mix. I think we're going to win some and lose some, and just kind of be prepared for that, folks. It's not necessarily a bad thing or a good thing. I mean, we'd like to win them all, but I'm just not so sure that happens.
Yep. No, well said. I think that's a good analogy. All right, we'll talk more. And again, Andy will be with us tomorrow. We'll talk a little more, maybe even get you to call in. We've got a lot going on tomorrow, so we'll get things discussed. And then Wednesday, we'll come back and recap whatever happens. Well, either way, we're here.
And Yep, we'll continue on with our lives.
That's right.
We always tend to do.
That's exactly right. All right, Richard, thanks a lot. And you know what? That's exactly the way we need to look at it, you know, by Wednesday morning, whether you know or not, you still get up, you go to work, you do the things you need to do, and that's called life, and that's what we do. Bruce Simmons is next, folks. And we talked to Bruce earlier. When it comes to reverse mortgages, he is our reverse mortgage professor, can help you with reverse mortgages. And if you're 62 years of age or older and you've ever thought about one, Bruce can explain it. If you're in one now and you'd like to lower some of your rates and save some money, he can help you with that as well. 303-467-7821 or klzradio.com.
Between the high home values and low interest rates of today's market, you want to call Bruce Simmons now about refinancing your reverse mortgage. Your home value has increased since you first took out your loan. By refinancing at today's low interest rates, you could pull more money out of your house without increasing your loan balance. Convert an even larger portion of the value of your home into tax-free money that you may use however you wish. Plus, as long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, you will never need to worry about making a mortgage payment as long as you live in the home. KLZ's reverse mortgage professor, Bruce Simmons, makes a potentially confusing loan program easy to understand. Right now, Bruce can even walk you through the numbers virtually, line by line, from your home computer. Visit klzradio.com/reverse and ask Bruce to run the numbers for you. Find out how much you could benefit from refinancing your reverse mortgage.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. You can go to 270towin.com as well, and don't look at all the polls and nonsense, but you can actually go to the Electoral College map and do some different clicking and kind of do your own mapping, if you would, to determine, you know, how does the election go, who wins what states as far as the Electoral College goes, and how does that look, and so on. I'm going to do a little more playing around with this tonight and kind of determine where I'm at, and I'll give you my thought process as soon as we come on air tomorrow. There will be no results coming on at 3 o'clock because that's only 5 o'clock on the East Coast. By the time we go off air at 6, it's 8 o'clock on the East Coast. Might be a few things coming in, but even then, pretty early to tell. It usually takes until 9 or 10 o'clock at night on the East Coast to even determine halfway what's going on, and sometimes even later than that. And who knows what this is going to be like tomorrow night. But we will come back Wednesday and let you know how it all turns out, as much as we'll know by then. But in the meantime, hour number 3 is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll get our Monday Mortgage Minute as soon as we come back and find out how you can save money on your mortgage. We'll be right back. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.